Well, if I can have you make your way to your seat so we can go ahead and get started, I'd appreciate it, please. We're going to be continuing on a series of sermons called Growing that we have been doing. It's a study of the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. For the last 3 weeks, we've read this verse. We're going to read it again today. And then we'll jump into the message. So if you'll read with me, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that the words may be given. I'm sorry, it's not showing up on here, so I have to read it off the teleprompter back there, or the screen. Be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you are doing for us. And Lord, we do pray that you give us the words to speak in opening our mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Lord Jesus, it is not a mystery to those that have received it, but it is a mystery to those that have not. And so, Father, we ask you, give us the words to speak. Help us to speak that word clearly. Lord, give us the ability to share the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us today, Father, as we study this word, as we dive into Paul's armor of God. Lord Jesus, help us to grasp a hold of what you would have us to say. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We pray that you would move in our hearts. Help us to grasp what Paul is speaking to us in these words today. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words too. Father, that you would speak to us, guide us and direct us in all things, because you are a wonderful God who loves us. Give us the wisdom that we need and the understanding that we need as we read through these verses, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we have been speaking of the armor of God for the last few weeks. And we spoke about, of course, the belt of truth, speaking the truth and speaking what has what Paul had told us, and the importance of a belt and what an importance of speaking the truth. It's very important for us to speak the truth and speak what God has told us to do. And then we, of course, talked about righteousness and spoke about what that really means, and that it is not our righteousness, it's not us comparing ourselves to others that matters, it's us comparing ourselves to God. It's His righteousness that matters, not ours. Today we come to this very interesting piece called the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Paul talks about these shoes of peace, and before we jump into the shoes of peace, what you have to understand is that the shoes, I want to actually show you a picture here. These are the shoes that a Roman soldier would wear. They're very stylish, maybe, in some cases today. Some people look at them and go, I would wear that today. The shoes were leather. Mostly, almost 100% leather, except for on the bottom, they would put these little flathead nails or studs on the bottom so that they could gain traction, if you will. It was very important for a Roman soldier, they found out that it was very important for a Roman soldier to have good footing. Thank you. I'm speaking of shoes. I should know footing, right? It was very important for the soldier to have good footing when he's in the middle of battle. Who wants to be going to thrust their sword and have their foot slide forward? That wouldn't go with very much power. And so they came up with this idea that if we put these metal studs on the bottom of the feet, on the bottom of their shoes, that they would be able to withstand and have better footing. The Roman soldiers were not the very first soldiers to ever wear shoes, but they were the very first soldiers to have them given out to the whole entire army. Over the course of the time, the Roman army found out that it was very important for us to have, or for the soldiers to have the shoes. Why? Well, I'm sure as any of you can attest to, if you've ever got a blister on the bottom of your foot and then tried to walk, it hurts. It hurts to also, now, back when I was a kid, I used to love to walk outside. I'd run across the gravel driveway and I wouldn't even think twice about it. Today, I walk out there and if I step on a twig or something like that, I'm like, whoa, what's going on? The truth of the matter is those shoes are very, very important. It's one of the most important, and it's been said that it is the most important piece of armor that the Romans could have came up with. Not the sword, not the shield, not the helmet, not the breastplate, not the belt, but the shoes was said to be the most important piece of armor that they could have. Why? Because if you don't have good feet, you're not going far. I don't know if you've ever had any problems with your feet. Ever had an ingrown toenail or ripped a toenail or cut your little big middle toe, doesn't matter what toe. If you hurt your toe, you hurt your foot, you're not going far. It hurts. You're not, or if you are going far, you're not going far fast. Now don't tell Pastor Chaz, but I actually like the New King James Version translation of this verse, and so I put it up here on this. So stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now the shoes of peace, when we think about this, the very first thing that we go to is peace. When we hear this word peace, what do we think of? We think of no wars, no battles, no fights, right? That's peace. Well, the reality of it is that Paul was not talking about this kind of peace at all. Why would you, if you're speaking of peace, why would you need armor? Paul, when he talks about the shoes of peace, when he talks about having put on these shoes of peace, when he talks about these things, what he's talking about is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is peace. But what he's talking about this is he's not talking about walking in peace. He's talking about, listen, rest assured, Paul is not advocating peace in this place at this moment in time. It's not that Paul isn't against peace, but what he's saying is that we are, when you're fighting spiritual battles, when you're fighting against armies and you're fighting against principalities and authorities that you don't see, you don't talk to them about peace. There's no negotiation with Satan. It's either his way or the highway. Well, we went the highway to heaven, not the highway to hell, right? And so when we look at this, when we understand this, when we talk about the shoes of peace, this isn't that Paul is telling you to go negotiate with Satan. That's not at all what he's saying. And I want you to be very clearly, I'm having a hard time speaking the words today. I want you to very clearly understand that when Paul is talking about this, he is talking about taking the message of Jesus Christ to the world around us. What does it mean to put on a pair of shoes? What does it mean to walk in shoes? This past summer, my wife and I had a wonderful opportunity to go out west, and we were in the Grand Canyon and walking the Grand Canyon. I would have never, in my wildest dreams, considered walking any of those trails without shoes on. Never. Because as you're walking down through there, There's just shoes give you balance, they give you support, they give you all of these things. They are critical in doing any of the activities that we are called to do. Not only does it hide the stink of some feet there. What does it mean to put on the shoes of peace and not only to put them on, but be prepared with them? See, this is what I want you to understand. Why I brought up the New King James Version is that it says, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does it mean to be prepared to walk with these shoes? We have to understand that Paul is talking to us and telling us that we should have a process in place. And so when we look at this, there's a couple things that we have to understand. Number one is that Paul talks about having a preparation or a readiness. In some translations, it says a readiness, but a preparation or readiness. When we are ready with the gospel of peace, we live with the understanding that we are continually under attack from Satan. I don't know about you, but when I'm ready to go out and do some work, other than putting on clothes, right? The very next thing is I put on a good pair of shoes. If I'm going outside to cut wood, I know that I have to have on a pair of shoes that's going to be able to withstand me doing that activity. If I'm going to my chicken coop to take care of my chickens, I am definitely not walking in there barefooted. I'm going to talk about some stinky feet. The truth of the matter is that we must be prepared. We must have a readiness. We must have an understanding. When we look at this word and we compare it to the shoes that Paul is talking about, what he's saying is that we have to be prepared with the gospel of Christ inside of us. We all have the gospel. If you are here today and you have had someone share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have accepted him, bless you, for what he has done on the cross for you. That is called being a Christian. But our job, bless you again, what we must understand is that we have been given this readiness. We have been given this opportunity that we should be ready to share the gospel. Pastor Chaz and I like to, I said that with a little bit of an accent, Pastor Chaz and I like to have this, we have this often discussion about, you know, the verse that says, be prepared in season and out. Right? There's three things that we should always be prepared to do. Preach, pray, and play golf. Four things. Preach, pray, play golf, and die. Those are the four things that you should be prepared always to do. And now we have this conversation, we talk about this all the time, but when it's easy for a pastor to say, oh, you should always be ready to preach, but you know what? This is the mistake that we make. The gospel, or the shoes of peace, the gospel shoes that Paul is talking about, wasn't just fitted for pastors. This is an armor of God that was given to every single one of us, all of us in this room, and everyone who calls themselves a believer in Jesus Christ. The word readiness implies a constant vigilance. A victorious soldier had to be prepared for the battle. He had to have studied the enemy's strategy, be confident in his own strategy, and have his feet firmly planted so that he could hold his ground when the attacks came. When Paul tells us about the armor of God and he tells us to put on the armor of God, he's not telling us to be prepared for little mosquitoes that come and attack us. Of course, all the mosquitoes are dead now, thank you, winter. But no, they're not. They're still out. Oh. Ugh. You leave them there, Amy. You can keep them there, okay? I don't want them anywhere near me. But when he talks about this, what we have to understand is that he's talking about a battle against us. There's a spiritual force coming against us. Satan is trying to attack us. And so we should be always ready and prepared with what? The gospel. What does that mean to be prepared and have a readiness of the gospel of Christ with us? What that means is that we should always be ready at any moment in time to share the gospel of Christ with those that are around us and who we have interaction with. We must wear the shoes of the gospel of peace to share the gospel with those around us. What's the quickest way to overcome Satan? Is to get everyone else around us to know Christ. You know why? Satan doesn't want to, listen, his attacks are, this is very simply said, Satan will attack those who are separated from the rest. What's the quickest way he's going to attack you? He's going to attack you by separating you from other bodies of believers. Why? Because he knows that if he can get you separated, if he can single you out, he can attack you and he will overthrow just you. It's easier to overthrow one than it is an army of people. It's why we talk about, do you have to be a Christian or do you have to come to church to be a Christian? No, you don't. But if you're a Christian and you don't come to church, what are you doing? You're separating yourself. You're isolating yourself. You're putting yourself out somewhere else so that you can be easily attacked. Paul is telling us, have the feet of the gospel of peace. Be ready. Be prepared. We must be ready at all times to stand firm against the attacks that Satan has for us. We must have a readiness, a preparation. Number two, Paul talks about why this idea of peace. Why is peace so important? Peace is not just simply, again, I think I already made that point, so I'm not going to make it again. But peace is more than just not being in war. That's not, or not being in battle. That's not what Paul is talking about here. What he's talking about is the peace that comes from knowing God. I love the saying, "No God, no peace." No God, no peace. Now, I didn't just duplicate what I said. No God, K-N-O-W. No peace, K-N-O-W. No God, N-O, no peace, N-O. There's a very important idea here when we talk about this, that peace comes from the unity and closeness with God. Real peace that we need in this world today doesn't come from not having battles. Jesus didn't talk about, listen, this battle, this idea that Christians should just always sit back and placate and be and not do anything. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to be on the advance. We're called to be on the offense. We're called to be moving forward. That's why the shoes of peace are so important, because they are going to take us where we have to go. But what are we taking? We're taking the peace of Christ with us. In our world, we have come to think that peace as a time when there are no active wars being waged. But the Bible shows us that peace is more than just that. Peace comes from a unity and closeness with God. There are so many prophecies in the Bible that I could talk to you about today, where God has been, about the kingdom of God has been established, and peace is the operative word to describe what this kingdom of God is. But when we're in the kingdom of God, we have this peace. When we're in the kingdom of God, we have this idea of being close to him. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going old school, Old Testament. I might have to start graveling my voice a little bit. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Isaiah says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it." "And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, for that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall come forth the law and the word of the Lord of Jerusalem.'" Who do you think, we're going to continue on reading this in a moment, but who do you think Isaiah is speaking about here? He's, of course, speaking about Jesus coming forth. He said, "He shall judge between the nations, and he shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Neither nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." What Isaiah is talking about is a coming kingdom in Jesus that's going to happen. When Jesus comes to this earth and we are part of, when we accept Jesus Christ, we talked about this in the fall, but when we accept Jesus on the cross for what he's done for us, we become part of his kingdom, the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom of Christ. We are here. We are in his kingdom. His kingdom is this many things. Now, this idea that Isaiah is talking about is a coming day when Jesus comes back to reign on this earth. What comes with him? Peace. There is no more wars. Because why? Jesus has established himself on the throne over everything else. But up until that time, we have to battle with Christ on the world that we're in today, because he hasn't, his kingdom hasn't been established all over this earth yet. It will, but it hasn't yet. We must understand that the world that will exist when the kingdom of God has been established will be a world where the instruments of war will be destroyed and the real peace will exist. What an amazing thought. But until that time, until that moment, we are at the core of the battle here right now. The reason why I bring this verse up is because this is a future, this is the goal. This is the idea we plant. We put this idea. This is what we all are striving for. We're trying to get there. How do we get there? We get there by putting on the shoes of peace and going around and sharing the gospel with the people around us. At some point, someone put on the gospel shoes and came to you and shared the gospel message to you. Someone put on those shoes, walked that path, came into your life, and started to share that gospel with you. The problem is that too many people in the church are going barefooted. Too many people in the church need to strap on those boots. And we need to go walking. We need to start sharing the gospel of peace with the world around us. Do you know that in 2023, this is the latest numbers I had, but in 2023 in Ravenna there was 11,000 people. 11,000 people in Ravenna proper, 44266 zip code, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less. Roughly, they think somewhere between 30 and 40% of that population of Ravenna has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christy, you're the math teacher. Pull out the calculator. Right here, I'll do it, Christy. What's 40% of 11,000? Well, 40% of 11,000, or 50% would be 6,500. So let's just round it off a little bit and say somewhere around 5,000, right? Maybe 5,500 people that don't know Jesus Christ. And that's probably on the low end. Could you imagine churches in Ravenna, Ohio, churches in Ritztown, Ohio, churches in Kent, Ohio, churches all around this area, if the Christians who sit inside these churches today would go out and share the gospel of peace with them and start winning people to Christ? Could you imagine what our church would look like if there's an extra 5,000 people here? The truth of the matter is that the reason why the church in America, the reason why the church in the world is not growing at the rate it is because we as Christians haven't strapped on those shoes and we're not out sharing the gospel like we need to be sharing the gospel. One of the most important pieces of equipment that Paul is talking about has nothing to do with the battle or the protection for us. It has to do with the protection and the battle for the people around us. The shoes of peace were not meant, it was meant to give us a firm standing. Listen, I want to make it very clear. The shoes are meant to give you firm standing. What's the firm standing in? The firm standing is what you know in Jesus Christ. But what are you doing with that? What are you doing with your understanding of Christ? Are you going to your neighbors and are you sharing with your neighbors? Are you going, do you even know your neighbors' names? I shared at prayer meeting a couple, I think it was a week ago, there's a wonderful app, and I encourage you all to download this app if you want, if this is of interest to you. It's called the Bless app, B-L-E-S-S. And you can download this app, and what it does is it gives you, there's five letters, Bless, right, B-L-E-S-S. And it talks, there's an acronym there, but what they want you to do is they want you to pray for your neighbors. They want you to talk to your neighbors. They want you to eat with your neighbors. And then they want you to serve your neighbors. There's this wonderful idea. But if you don't know your neighbor's name, the very first thing that you can do is download this app and start to know the neighbor's name. And start to pray for your neighbors by their name. It's real, real important that we understand and we are praying for our neighbors by their name. Why? Because we have the gospel of peace at our feet and we are called to go out and share that gospel. Christians who are not sharing the gospel of peace are not doing the commandments that Jesus told them to do, which is go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus is calling us to go forth and do these things. See, the very truthful part about all this is that these boots were made for walking. They weren't made for staying still. I know, everyone, I'm sorry for the earworm I just gave you guys for the rest of the day. You're welcome. But if you're going to talk the talk, guess what? You better walk the walk. If you want to call yourself a Christian, it's not just to get blessed from Him. Do you understand that? See, I think too many, we have to make this clarification. I need to make this clarification. This clarification that I need to make, not only in myself, but for all of us, is that Christ didn't just come save you to send you to heaven. We make it all about getting to heaven, and that's good, because going to heaven is great. And it is a goal. It should be a goal for all of us. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus wants you to do way more than just get to heaven. He wants you to bring along with you a whole bunch of folk, right? He wants you to be dragging them if you have to. Listen, if you have to drag your kids to church, do it. I don't care. Drag them to church. Because why? Because they need to have an understanding of the gospel of Christ. But even better than that, why don't we start sharing Christ with our neighbors and our family members and our kids and our coworkers? See, we have been given the shoes that were meant for walking. And we need to go forward and walk in those ways. Jesus had a charge to his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." But you want the most important part of that verse is that he said, "Go." He didn't say, "Just wait here and let people come knock on your door." Listen, evangelism, meaning the sharing of the gospel, sharing the story of Jesus and what he means to us, was always something that makes us go forth. Jesus tells his disciples to go. What does he tell us in Matthew chapter 28? Go. What does he tell us in all? He tells us everywhere that he talks about sharing the gospel to go. You can't sit in your house and go at the same time. That just doesn't work. I know some of you are introverts. I was going to say Becky, but she's not even in here. I know some of us, I know you might be an introvert, but you know what? There are no introverts in the kingdom of God. Because he needs to take, you know what? There are some introverted people. There's some people that sounds so bad. There's some people that are not liking to be around other people, right? That need to hear from you. There's some people that need to hear the story, just like you. I didn't ask her to share this, but I know she won't mind. And Bonnie, have this conversation often, and we have this conversation about how we are, each person is different. She has a different way of sharing things. And sometimes I tease her about that. But you know what? I love it because there are people just like her that she needs to reach, that only she can reach. There are people that we all need to reach. And if we're not sharing the gospel, if we're not putting on those shoes, if we're not prepared, if we're not ready to walk out and share that, then what are we doing? The gospel was made to be shared. The disciples carried out his command. And so right after Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." See, the thing of it is when you go forth, you want to see healings in your life, then go start praying for them. You want to see miracles in your life? Go start praying for them. You want to see people saved? Then go start sharing the gospel with people around you. People go, oh, I wish I could come to church and see a miracle. Well, guess what? You can be the miracle. If you would just go out and do it. God doesn't have to, listen, Lord, I'm not saying that I don't want this to happen, but God doesn't have to use me. He doesn't have to use him. He can use you. If your mind and your heart is set on sharing the gospel of peace and you're doing it in love to the people around you, God is going to move through you. I guarantee you. Some of the most amazing things I've ever seen were when I was the most immature and young in the faith. Why? Because I didn't know any better. I didn't know what to pray. I'd walk in and say, Lord, heal this person. And you know what? Turn around and God would do a miracle in that person's life. It wasn't anything fancy. I used to go, I don't know what to say. Well, say anything. God is good. All you have to do is open your mouth and share the gospel. This is what Jesus is talking. This is what Paul is talking about. If we have the shoes of peace, if we're prepared to share that message, then we are going to see amazing things happen. The Great Commission contains the same instructions to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We talked about that, but Jesus is telling us to go. The feet of those disciples who were delivering the message of peace are figuratively described as beautiful. Beautiful are the feet of those that share the gospel. I don't care if your foot has bunions. I don't care if it's growing weird little things out of its toe. It has hair sticking out. Those types of things. If you're sharing the gospel of peace, guess what? God takes it all away and says, it's beautiful. You don't have to worry about any of that. I don't care if it smells like a bag of Doritos or wet Doritos. If it's sharing the gospel of peace, that's all that matters. I'm sorry. The truth of the matter is, though, is that Jesus thinks our feet are beautiful when we share the gospel with the people around us. So the question has to be asked today. What are we doing with the shoes? What are we doing with the gospel of peace that was given to us? A winning strategy for war never involves standing still. Do you notice that? You ever studied the battles, the great battles, great war battles? I don't care what battle you've ever been in. There's never one that said, we're just going to sit here and win this battle. It never happens. The greatest wars were always won by advancing on your enemy, by moving forward and progressing and pressing on. You don't win by just waiting around and waiting for the, I was going to say the shoe to drop, but that doesn't sound right. You win by pressing forward. You win by taking steps. You win by pressing in on the enemy. Who is the enemy? We already talked about that. The enemy is Satan. So what are we doing? When we put on the gospel and the shoes of the peace and we go forward and we start sharing the gospel of peace, it's going to make us stronger. But guess what? It's going to make the kingdom of God stronger. And Satan won't attack us because as we grow in strength, he doesn't want to fight a battle that he'll never win. Again, if you're going to talk the talk, you better learn to walk the walk. And that's true not only in life, but it's true in the gospel of Jesus Christ too. If you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then you better learn to walk the walk. Do what he has called you to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Are you prepared for the walk? A Christian wearing the armor of God will have his or her feet prepared and shod in the gospel of peace. Have you put on the shoes of peace? Do you even own the shoes of peace? Now, this is a question I want to ask you. Do you own the shoes of peace? The gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we receive those shoes when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, ladies, I know you have some probably amazing shoes at home, but there's nothing more beautiful than the shoes of peace that you receive in a relationship with Jesus Christ. but we have to put them on. We have to walk in them. These shoes are available to you today if you want them. These shoes are available for you to walk in, to lace up, and to move forward. Romans 10 verse 9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved, as Scripture tells us. What does that mean? What are we saved from? We're saved from our sin. We're saved from the punishment of death. We're saved from all of those things. And those are wonderful things. Those are all amazing things. But you even get a pair of shoes with it too. Will you stand with me, please? So I want to focus on two things here. Number one is I'm going to, as I've been trying to do, is give those that are here today or watching at home online has never accepted Jesus Christ an opportunity to do that today. I think it's very, very important. We have been, Pastor Chaz and I have been having constant conversation about why we think it's very important that every Sunday we give an opportunity for you to accept Jesus Christ. Or the visitors coming in, if someone's visiting or you're bringing someone along, it's very important that we give them that opportunity. Why? Because what? This is all about. It's about pressing on and meeting people where they're at and saying, you need Jesus in your life. And so I'm going to share that gospel message with you and bring them in. It doesn't have to happen, though. I want you to be very, very clear. We love it when it happens here. There's nothing wrong with someone accepting Jesus Christ here. But guess what? It happens at home on the kitchen table with your neighbors. It happens in the middle of the grocery store, in the canned vegetable aisle, as a young lady's bawling her eyes out. How do I know? Ask me how I know. I know because I was there. And I was sharing the gospel message with that young lady, and she's given her life to Christ in the middle of a giant eagle. It can happen in any. Listen, my favorite place. It happens at Dunkin' Donuts. Not going to call him out by name, but there's a young man. Yeah, well, there's a man that we have been witnessing to every Thursday when we're there. And I believe this man is going to come to know Christ if he doesn't already. Partly because of Pat's persistence. It's amazing. It happens wherever we go. Why? Because if you are a Christian, you have been given the shoes of the gospel of peace. And you are then called to take it to where you go. And so no matter where you go, listen, a few years ago, this nasty thing called COVID-19 happened, right? And when it happened, everyone's going, wow, this person infects this person, infects this person, infects this person, infects this person. And then before you know it, there's so many people that are sick. And as I look back on that, I said, Daddy, that's amazing. How can we stop that from happening? And then I thought, wait a minute. This is exactly the way that the gospel of Christ should be spreading. Not COVID-19, but Jesus. Your breath that you pour out, as stinky as it might be, as you share Christ with those around you, should infect them with the love of Jesus Christ. And they should change. And then they will go out and share it with someone else. And they will go out and share it with someone else. And before you know it, we have churches who are full. We have ministries who are sharing the gospel of peace, who are feeding the poor. This is what it's all about. But it requires you and I to put on these shoes. So in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord into our hearts. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. But I also want to pray for those that are here today. Listen, if you've never shared, Barna recently came out with a stat and said that it used to be one in every 10 Christians shared their faith across their whole entire life. One in 10. Now he's saying that somewhere close to 1 in every 100 Christians have seen someone give their life to Christ. I want you just for a moment to think about this. If you're a Christian, if you are here today, someone shared with you, and you should thank God that someone did. But you know there's people in your life right now that don't know Jesus Christ because you're not sharing it with them? You're not sharing Christ with them? There's people that God has put in your life, in your circle, that you need to go and share, to strap on those shoes, those boots, and let's go do some business. It's time, church, that we turn these numbers around. God has not abandoned us. In many ways, the church has abandoned him by not sharing the gospel of Christ with those around. So important that we do that. We have to find a way to make this the most important thing, to share the gospel of Christ with those around us. It's time, church, to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you. We lift you high and mighty. Lord, I'm thinking directly right now, the some 11,000 people that are in Ravenna, the 8 or 9,000 that are in the greater Ritztown area. That sounds funny saying greater Ritztown, but the Ritztown area, Father, and all of the surrounding areas, Lord Jesus. Father, I can't help but think the number of people that don't know you. Lord, forgive us for not sharing the gospel with them, for not strapping on those shoes and going forth and doing what you called us to do. Lord, prepare us. Make us ready. Let us be evangelists for you. Father, I know that's, listen, if you're not been in the church, that might sound like a scary term, but all it is sharing what Jesus has done for you with those around us. Lord, help us today. Father, I know that whether there's people here in this room or watching at home online, that there are some that have never given their life to Christ, have never accepted Jesus for what he's done. And so, Lord Jesus, I lift up to you right now these people, and I say, if you're here today and you want to make that commitment, you want to put on those shoes of peace, and you want to go forward, but you need Jesus in your heart to change you, to change your life, to help you, to save you, to lift you up out of the miry pit. Romans 10, verse 9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that he has saved us from our sins by dying on that cross, that we can have everlasting eternal life with him and that we shall be saved. Lord Jesus, if there's some here that have never said that word or watching at home online, may today be that day where they simply just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Let me draw into you. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Allow me to be saved. If you said those words, welcome to the kingdom of God. If you've already said those words, though, maybe years have passed. Maybe you're one of those Barna statistics that says, I have not shared Christ ever in my life. It's time. This world needs us. And so, Father, I pray a holy boldness to fall amongst the Christians, not only in this church, but every single church across this world. May we again take on the shroud, the feet, the gospel, the shoes of peace, and may we go forward in an aggressive stance, a defensive, going on the offense to share the gospel with those around us. Give us the power. Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, I believe right now, even at this moment in time, you are bringing to our minds people that you're placing on our hearts. Whether they be our neighbors, whether they be our coworkers, family members, whoever it is, I believe you're laying it on our heart. And I want to lift them up to you right now. And I say, Father, do more. Holy Spirit, prod us, poke us, push us. Do all that you need us to do to share that love of Christ with those around us. Help us. Send us forth from this place. And let us wear those boots that were made for walking as we walk the walk and talk the talk. Help us today, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we sing this worship song, what I want to do is I just want to invite you all to come, if you would like any prayer, if you'd like to come be part of the family of God. If you did that, if you said that, then come forward and let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. Maybe today you're battling something. You're just saying, I don't have the understanding. I don't have the brains. I don't have the words. I don't have, listen, if God can use the likes of me, he can use you to share the gospel of Christ. So let us encourage you. Let us pray for you. Let us stand beside you. And if we have to, we'll kick you in your rear to get you moving too. Feel free to come forward and let us pray with you as we sing this worship song. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Do you know there's nothing that can attack you that doesn't tremble at the name of Jesus? There's nothing that you face that can't be overcome by Jesus. All we have to do is speak his name, and the darkness flees. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you are doing and what you have done and what you will continue to do. Lord, now let us, help us, encourage us to do our part, to go forward with the shoes of the gospel of peace, to share with those around us. Father, I pray for a great awakening. I pray for those that don't know you yet, those that you have placed on our hearts, those that we can't forget about and we can't get out of our minds. I pray that you help us to not only pray for them, but to seek the words to speak to them, to share the gospel with them. Lord, help us as you send us forth. You told us to go, Father, and so we are going to go, but we need you to go with us. Let us be prepared in season and out of season, Father, to share the gospel message to those around us so that you and your kingdom can be glorified, lifted high, and praised at every step. We love you, Father. We glorify you. We honor you. And we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week. You're still invited to come forward if you'd like some more prayer. We'd love to have an opportunity to do that. Otherwise, have a great week. We'll see you again next week.